Robert there in the back what time you're usually done on Sunday morning, and he said usually around 1:30. So I said that shouldn't be a problem. I'll be all right on that.
That's AM.
Oh, what a blessing it's been to be here. I'm going to say this morning in case there's some that don't make it back tonight, but I just really, really am humbled by and appreciative of the opportunity to have been here with you for these few days, and it's been a real blessing. Everybody's been asking me, are they taking good care of you? How are you sleeping? Did you get up plenty to eat and all that? And they've been taking great care of me. I appreciate you opening your house to me and making me feel welcome, and it's been a blessing. The fellowship's been great, and I just really appreciate all that you've done, the spirit that's here, the liberty to preach, and it's just really, really a blessing. So I don't take it lightly whatsoever. I was kind of shocked when you called me and asked me to come. I thought, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. But I've really been happy to have been here, and it's truly an honor. So I do hope and pray that, like Paul said, it left some spiritual gift. You know, that's really, truly the desire. I appreciate the comments that have been made beforehand, even about, you know, God working in other places and bringing in other perspectives to some extent. And I think that is, it's real good. You know, what's funny to me, if you think about it, we can, you know, believe the same things, right? And I could come to your house and be like, man, why do these people eat at 7 o'clock at night? Right? Because we don't eat at 7 o'clock at night at my house. I don't like eating that late. It doesn't make you wrong. It's just different. And it's actually okay. Sometimes it's sort of nice to see something that's maybe not exactly the same, but it's not wrong. A church is like a family. And in my house, we just do things a certain way, and that's just how we do it. And we're weird about some stuff. I mean, we're just absolutely weird about some stuff. I know that. But see, to me, it's not weird. To me, people that don't do things the way I do it, it's weird, you know? And what I'm driving at is what's really, really, really neat is to go somewhere this far away from home, completely different culture, watching people wrap blankets and coats around themselves when it's 60 degrees. Brother, if there's baptisms, I would really appreciate having the opportunity to do the baptizing because I need to cool off a little bit, you know? And no, I'm a northerner and I'm, you know, different and all that kind of stuff, but I am who I am, right? And at the same time, there's a kindred spirit. And that, to me, is pretty cool. We get to heaven, man, it's going to be something else, ain't it?
Amen.
Coming from all over the planet. Think about it. Throughout all the last 2,000 years and all the ages, even in the Old Testament, I mean, culturally. But we're not going to be worried about any of that stuff. There's going to be a spirit there that's going to be just consistent, man. And that's just great. God's good. Yeah. And I'm encouraged having been here. And I appreciate you very much. And I hope I can be a help to you this morning. Listen, if I've said anything that offends you, you misunderstood me, okay? I didn't mean it that way. And if I say anything today that offends you, you misunderstood me, all right? So, communication's a tricky thing. You know that? I've learned that at being a pastor, you can talk to people and then they go and they say, well, pastor said, and it's like, what? That is not what I said, but that is what they heard. And so I'm praying this morning that the Holy Spirit will not to let the devil get in here in between the pulpit and the ears and the heart, let him confuse what God might be trying to say, and I'll do my best to communicate as the Lord will lead me. But let's go to John chapter 20 this morning. John chapter number 20. I will try to get you out of here before 1 o'clock. I promise that part, and we'll do our best. John chapter number 20 this morning. I'd like to start reading, if we could, in verse number 1. And the Bible says this, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early. And notice the phrase, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher. And seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher, then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Now this verse is where I want to take sort of the main thought for the morning from. It says in verse number 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, here's the question, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. Let's pray this morning, and then we'll take a look at this passage. Father, I love you, and I do thank you, Lord, for the privilege, and I genuinely mean that from my heart, Lord. It's been a privilege to be able to stand behind this pulpit and open up the Word of God to your people. And I pray, Father, you would put your hand on me. I pray that you'd control me. I pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd help me to be sensitive to you and to your Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you'd use your words this morning to speak to some hearts. There's people here that need something from you, Lord. And I'm 100% sure of that. And Lord, we all need something. Sometimes Amen. We realize it and sometimes we don't. But I pray, Father, if somebody came here this morning with a specific need, that by your power, you'd give it to them. If somebody came here this morning not realizing their need, that you'd open their eyes. And Lord, for sure, if there's anybody with us this morning that is not saved, they're not on their way to heaven, if they died today, they'd actually wake up in a devil's hell for eternity. God, I pray that if that's the case, that you would just speak to their heart right now. Please begin burning in their heart with that convicting power of your Holy Spirit. Now, I pray they'd realize they're in a safe place. I pray they realize that they're not somewhere where anybody's going to push them or pressure them, but that we're here to help and we have something that's real. And Father, may they have the courage today to say, listen, I need to talk to somebody, and Lord, find out what it means to be born again before they leave here. That'd be wonderful, God. We'd really appreciate you doing that. So we ask you, please, just to do your part. We know you do. We trust that you will. Work on them. Help us to do our part. And we ask you to get some glory out of what goes on here this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now in verse number 13, the angels ask the woman. She comes there to the grave and she's looking for the Lord and she's just weeping. You know the story. The Lord Jesus Christ had been crucified and the disciples are very confused about what's going on. Israel had rejected Jesus Christ in spite of all that he had done and how many times he had proven himself in so many miraculous ways, and they had rejected their Messiah. They were looking for a conquering king to come free them from Roman domination. And instead, Jesus Christ came with a different spirit, not what they were expecting. Did a work that they weren't understanding, and they weren't seeing all that God was doing. They weren't understanding all the scriptures that were being fulfilled and all the power that God was showing them. It was going completely over their head. They were looking for something specific and God was giving them something that they needed but not what they wanted. And they crucified the Messiah. Even the disciples were very confused about this. And honestly, they really shouldn't have been. He had taught them. He had showed them. He had plainly said to them, here is the truth, this is what's going to happen. He had told them that he was going to be crucified. He had told them he was going to rise from the dead. And the text tells us they did not yet understand the scriptures. They were so missing the point when it was right in front of them that it is like very encouraging to me, because man, I realize something about Mike Reagan. He is absolutely clueless sometimes. I don't understand why I'm so clueless, but I feel like a late bloomer. I'm 44 years old and things are hitting me that, like, I'm like, that is so obvious and I did not get that all these years. It was right in front of me. It was going completely over my head. And I'm kind of ashamed of that, but I'm comforted when I look at the disciples and see, man, they are falling apart right now. Their Messiah, who they loved, listen, they forsook all to follow him. They lost careers to follow Jesus Christ. They lost friends to follow Jesus Christ. They lost family to follow Jesus Christ. They'd been suffering some persecution. They'd been sleeping out in the woods. I mean, think about the life that they had because they chose to follow Jesus Christ, thinking he's going to do one thing, and instead he decides to do something completely different, and they're like, what in the world is going on? They watched him get torn to shreds by an angry mob. And I've got to think in the back of their heads, I know what I'd be thinking. Them folks are coming after us next. They're brokenhearted. Mary's here in the text and she knows the Lord. She knows him well. She'd been there the whole time. And she's at that tomb and she's weeping because she's so confused about what's going on and she does not understand why things turned out like they turned out. Folks, I've not been trying to depress you all week, but I'll be honest with you. I had some different things planned and thought I was ready, and I've spent a lot of time this week in the room going, you know what, Lord's saying, I want you to go a different direction. I'm not trying to, tonight I'm going to try to give you a little bit more of a positive message, but this is what I believe the Lord has. Yep. And the reason I believe he has it is because of the times that you and I live in. You realize, like we talked about earlier, and I'm not going to try to rehash it, and I'm not making a joke out of it right now. We've joked around about it a little bit, but you know, life is kind of disappointing. Now, I'm very, very, very blessed. And I'm a pretty happy guy. I don't look like it when you look at me, but don't judge me by my face because you don't know what's in my heart. I'm happy. I enjoy my life. I'm born again serving Jesus Christ and I literally just genuinely enjoy my life. But man, I've learned there's not a whole lot in this world that you can really, really just go, we're good, we're safe. I'm happy here. This is going to turn out well. This will never hurt me. That's just not life. You've ever heard of broken heart syndrome? You know, that was a fairly rare thing, but a common and well-known thing. It's actually a heart condition that can come from illnesses. It can come from extreme emotional trauma. Do you know what I read recently? I read an article not long ago that said broken heart syndrome is like multiplying right now, and it's common in people 50 and over, and it's more common in women. And what the studies were showing was that the coronavirus and all the stuff that happened and the massive changes to our life and all the fear and all the anxiety was causing more and more cases of broken heart syndrome. Women were coming in and men were coming in, but more women than men, that's the studies, were coming into the hospital thinking they're having a heart attack. That tells you where we're at. Oh, well, I'm a Christian. I'm one of those disciples. I got Jesus. I'm immune from all of that. Well, that's not just this not reality. The Bible says it rains on the just and on the unjust. Born again Christians that love Jesus Christ, that were not suffering the judgment of God, got the coronavirus and passed away. There must have been underlying conditions, not that anybody knows of. Just like you talked about in Sunday school. Oh, that must be God judging. You better be really, really, really careful. Because what if God decided he was going to dish out judgment and set his eyes on you? Amen. Folks, we are in a weird time, and I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart, and if I'm wrong, I'll say I'm sorry when we get to heaven, but between now and then, I believe with all my heart, we're getting super close. And what that means is that spirit of Antichrist, we discussed it earlier, is in the world. And as we get closer, evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that spirit continues to rise and accelerate and be more prominent and spread more and more in the world in which we live, not just the United States, but the world in which we live. You and I are going to feel it because we're used to a little bit of a different culture. I mean, even when I was a kid, it was a whole lot more common for people to believe in God, or at least believe the Bible was the word of God and believe in Jesus, you know, I mean, and it's just not that way anymore with the younger generation. Amen. So as we fall away from God, you know, loosely using the term, as a nation, as we get farther and farther from the Bible, it gets darker and darker in the world in which we live. That means more and more sin just kind of let loose and let go, becoming more and more rampant and more accepted. And it has even crept into our churches where we're looking more like Corinth than we are like anything else nowadays. There's a church not far from me, an evangelical church, where literally they are proud of the fact that they have a transvestite in their church as a regular member of their church that feels welcome, unrepentant, unchanged, welcome, no repentance necessary. Now listen, I'm not one of these guys that says you can't get saved if you've ever been because of a reprobate mind and homosexuals can't get saved. And I don't find that to be true in the Bible. Because Paul talks about in that list, he says the effeminate and this, abusers of themselves with mankind. That's homosexuality.
Yes, it is.
And then he says, and such were some of you.
Amen.
God will save anybody who comes to Jesus Christ, recognizing their sin, realizing he died on the cross to save them from hell. And without him, they can't get to heaven and say, Lord, I need you. Come into my heart. Save my soul. He'll wash away all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
Amen. Amen.
I believe that. But I believe when the church has come to a point where they say, we have homosexuals in our church. A friend of mine took a Baptist church not far from where I'm at. He became the pastor. They voted him in. He said, before you vote me in, the lesbians have to go. They said, he said, they're not repenting. They got to go. You lose people over that in a Bible? All I'm trying to say is, you guys, it's getting dark. And the darker it gets, the more depressing it becomes. There's not a person in this room that has not felt the pain of sin. The problem is the devil likes to get in there when you're a disciple and say, well, you know, the Lord let this happen and why did God and I did everything. And folks, it's not God. You realize we have young people nowadays, young. When I say young, I'm not even talking teenagers yet. Struggling with depression. I have heard elementary age kids say, I'm just stressed. Huh? I mean, the only thing you should be stressed about is, man, the preacher's never going to shut up and I want to go home and play. You're a little kid. You know what? They're not faking it and they're not just copycatting their parents. Look at them. You know what that is, folks? That ain't Jesus Christ. That ain't God. It's sin. When sin shows up, sin creates this negative emotions. Sin creates this weeping and this sorrow. And notice in verse number 1, she shows up while it is yet what? Darkness will impact your emotional state. And born again Christians, you are not immune from it. Sin will tear you down.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm so tired of them brainwashing our kids.
Amen.
I'm so tired of them presenting it as though they'll be happier if they do these things. And you got to try it out. And you don't know what you are or what you're not. And you know, of course, we believe in science, not the Bible. But you still, you know, you're not sure what you really are. And you got to try it. And don't knock it till you try it. And listen, don't try sin. Get away from sin. The darkness of sin will destroy your joy. You will weep rivers of tears by messing around in things God told you to get away from.
Amen.
And the darkness impacted this woman who loved Jesus Christ. You know what you got to do? You got to yield to the light. She shows up and looks into that tomb and there's those angels sitting there and God's about to bring her some great news to wipe away her tears and to wipe away her sorrows. But she had to get to where the light was. She had to go face that thing that was breaking her heart and recognize that, you know what, I don't know it. I don't understand this. I'm not sure why it turned out this way, but there is a God in heaven and He's doing something. And when all of the realization of who God is and the miracle God's working settled in on her, it pulled her out of that darkness. You know what the Bible says about you and I? He said He's translated you from darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son.
Amen.
Folks, we're living in a sinful world. And a sinful world is going to break your heart. I have four daughters. They're still young. My oldest is 18. And so far, man, they've been a blessing. But I ain't counting my chickens. You know why? Because of sin. I know what I worry about. This is, you shouldn't worry. Well, pray for me. I worry about grandkids. It's a dark world to be bringing up children in. I'm watching what the devil's doing to young people. I'm watching what sin's doing to young people. I'm watching their disinterest in the things of God. I'm watching the dry bones of the deadness spiritually that's going on in our nation. And listen, it gets a little confusing and frustrating and disappointing and sorrowful. Just like Mary in the text. She's weeping. But God wasn't done working yet. Look what happens in verse number 2. She comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciples when she gets there to the sepulcher and it's empty and there's darkness everywhere. She runs to Simon Peter and to the other disciple. You know who he is because he says whom Jesus loved. He was the author of this book and he wasn't using his name. But the disciple whom Jesus loved was John. John was the younger of the disciples. He wrote the book of Revelation. It was the latest one to be written. He was the youngest one. He was still alive and kicking. John wasn't as fancy as Peter. I want to circle back to that in a little bit, but John was the younger one, the more tender one. He wasn't as much of the showboat, maybe the strong one. We're going to talk about Peter a little bit tonight. He wasn't necessarily so showy, but he was real close to Jesus. And he goes she goes to Simon Peter and the other disciple, and she says unto them, "They've taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they've laid him." Notice something in verse number 2. When you're brokenhearted, when it's dark and when things are confusing, notice what happens, because we all do this. She jumped to conclusions. You see that in verse 2? They've taken away the Lord. No, they didn't. How many of you have ever done that?
Yep.
It's dark. You're sick of it. Sorrow has come. Disappointments are one after the other after the other. If you live long enough,
yep.
And you look at it and you go, well, you know what? I know it. Yeah, I know what happened.
Yeah.
No, you don't. Not always. This is the reality of life. We kind of got to slow down a little bit and give things some time. I'll never forget. We bought our new house that we're in right now 3 years ago. It's exciting, right? Like we talked about life, getting married, and the reality versus what your imagination was. And we bought that house, and we were careful. Timing was right. The Lord had just worked things out. It was good. You know, everything was right. Looked at the thing, new furnace, new AC, new countertops, new electrical. I mean, the inspector said, man, this electrical system, I haven't seen anything like this. This is amazing. This is really well done. Everything was up to par. Well, the inspector found the septic field was about to fail. Thank God we got the inspection. Amen. $20,000. They had to do it before we moved in. So I'm thinking, we are good. Everything's done. No stress. No worries. It's my little, you know, God gave me a little paradise on earth and everything's going to be fine. Well, we had been in the house maybe 6 months. And one morning I thought, what is that smell? Went downstairs in the basement and the whole basement smelled funny. I thought, oh, my heart just panicked, right? I went and I opened up that little utility closet in the back of the basement. It's a finished basement. And there on the floor, about the size of a small dinner plate, was a wet spot right where the pipe goes out to the septic field. And that thing was dripping. Now, that's a very, very, very bad thing, especially in a finished basement. I jumped on the phone with the septic guy. Man, you guys just put in a brand new septic. It is. He said, get outside and pull the lid off that septic tank. I went outside. I pulled the lid off the septic tank. Folks, it was right up to the top of the riser, that close from spilling over into the yard. I said, it's all the way to the top of the visor, to the top of the riser. He said, oh, what? I have never seen this happen. How many girls do you have in that house? I said, four and a wife. He said, and they all have long hair, don't they? I said, relatively speaking, yes. He said, our new systems have a filter on them. Before it leaves the tank to go to the field, there's a filter. And that filter just saved your life. He said, but there's a problem. That pipe's gonna let loose sooner or later, and all that sewage that's sitting up at the top of the visor in the backyard's gonna shoot out into your basement. I said, what do I do? Can you come? He said, you don't have time for me to come. You gotta pull the filter. I said, where's the filter? He said, probably about 2.5 feet down. I said, you're kidding, right? He said, you gotta do it, man. So here we go. I went all the way in and I'm feeling around. I'm turning my face like this and I was up to my armpit. I found the filter. My wife is standing there. Honey, I'm going, the girl said, Dad, oh, Dad, you're going to get an infection and die. I mean, it was just, pull that filter out. Went all down, rushed out to the field. And my arm stunk. I took 3 showers that day, and I still smelled. And you all have been shaking my hand all week. We're good. It was a couple of years ago, all right? You say, what's your point, preacher? Reality versus your dreams. You think you got it all lined up. You think you covered all the bases. You think everything's perfect. You think we're good. And listen, nothing can happen because everything's been fixed. It's all going to be a while. And you're just in a sinful world where stuff comes out of nowhere when you're least expecting it. Now, I've been paranoid. I check that pipe all the time. I check that filter all the time. I'm just saying, in this world, folks, you really just don't, you don't really have anything you can just kick back and go, okay, it's always going to be good. Your faith ain't in this world. There's going to be plenty of disappointments. There's going to be plenty of sorrows. And then when you see the problem, you jump to conclusions. And usually when you jump to conclusions, you make your problems worse. The first conclusion in my mind is something is wrong. This is going to cost me $20,000. And oh my goodness, what are we going to do? We just put a new field. It really wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, you know, how many of you fellas would stick your arm in a septic tank for 20 grand? Anybody? Well, there's a couple of us. All right. I would. I'm sorry. I just would. It wasn't really the end of the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? But for a little while, it felt like it was the end of the world. We got to realize that, folks, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Jesus is going to get us out of here. Don't allow the sorrow to overwhelm you. Realize he's doing something, and he's not done yet.
Amen.
So don't quit.
Amen.
Darkness will impact your emotional state, and it doesn't mean you're carnal. It means you're human. Look at something else. Doubt will steal your joy. Go down to verse number 13. They ask her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they laid him. You know what she's doing? She's doubting the fact that Jesus Christ is even anywhere around. She's just like, I don't know the answers. I don't know what happened. I don't know where he is. I just, oh. Any of you ever feel that way? Is anybody in here married? Honey, what's going on? We're just not, we just, something's been wrong for a while. I mean, we just, right? And you're like, I'm doing, I don't know. I love you more than ever before. And like, yeah, what am I doing? And I don't know. What are you doing? I don't know what I'm doing. What are you doing? And, right? We have been properly, spanking this child and spanking this child, and it's not working. Anybody else been there?
Sure.
Doubt.
Amen.
Doubt. I've been praying for my family and praying for my family and praying for my family, and they aren't budging. Doubt. You realize doubt will steal your joy? Is the Lord still in it or not? Are we going to make it through the recession or not? There's all kinds of things constantly trying to drag the believer's eyes off of Jesus Christ and drag you and drain you of faith in your Savior. And that is part of life. It's not going to go away in a sinful world. So we got a couple options. We can continue to focus on the doubts, or we can get our eyes on Jesus Christ and say, I don't know what you're doing, but I ain't leaving you. You said you ain't leaving me. I ain't leaving you. Where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life.
Amen.
I haven't gone anything out of church in a while. Well, the preacher probably hasn't either. You think that's unique only to people that aren't pastors? We were talking yesterday about preaching dry.
Well, it wasn't really.
Well, thank God he showed up anyways and did his best. I ain't quitting just because I'm going through a dry spell. I ain't quitting because I don't know whether or not it's going to work out. If God said to raise them right, I'm going to raise them right. If they grow up and make their own decisions and they make stupid decisions like knuckleheads in spite of all I taught them, then that's between them and God. I'm going to do what's right.
Amen.
Doubt will steal your joy. We'll talk a little bit more about it tonight, but you ever have the doubts of the decisions that you've made? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. The guilt monkey, we'll talk about it tonight, but the guilt monkey will get on your back and try to choke the life out of you. And that ain't God.
Amen.
Doubt. Doubt comes from unanswered questions. I don't know where they laid him. He talked about stupid questions this morning. That was good. I was telling my church recently, I said, there are, you know, they say there's no stupid questions. I say, I just don't agree with that. And then one of the guys that just recently got saved, he's 51 years old, and he walked up and he said, hey, preacher, I got a stupid question for you. I said, I'm really sorry. It's okay. But, you know, there's a lot of questions.
Amen.
Have you ever said or heard somebody say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God?
Oh, yeah.
I understand the sentiment, but no, you're not. When you see him, what are you trying to say, preacher? I don't know. I'm being serious. I mean, it is funny, but it's true. Think about it. How does a sinful man stand in front of sinful men and talk to them about perfection and holiness? You ever hear somebody preach something and they've never been through it? Nothing personal, but you know, like, I mean, I'm not an old man, but I'm not like brand new either. I'm 44. You know, you hear some 21-year-old who's raised a kid for a little while. Nothing against 21-year-olds. Grown man. All due respect. If you're respectable, I'll respect you. I tell my teenage kids that. But you know, he's never really had a teenager. And he wants to get up and tell everybody how to raise teenagers. You know, some of you need to tell your kids. And it's like, why? Well, because he hasn't lived that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
But then you get an old man up there who's lived it, and he can say, let me tell you some things I did wrong.
Amen.
And he can stand and talk to you, and it's just got a lot of power to it, right? Because he had lived that. You know, I've never been perfect. I have never even seen visually, you understand what I'm saying? God's perfection.
No.
We all have a lot of unanswered questions.
Amen.
Live with it.
Amen.
That's pretty rude, isn't it? And I'm not trying to be rude. I think we've, you know, hopefully gotten to know each other after the last couple of days. I'm not trying to be too rough, but deal with it. Because the devil will get you with those unanswered questions, and he will drag you, drain you dry, drag your faith down, beat the joy out of you, and he will get you obsessed with that one thing that God hasn't answered yet. I have seen so many Christians hung up on unanswered questions. Doubt will steal your joy. The crazy circumstances that she's in, the chaos of the situation. Think about the chaos of the situation. I don't know, I'm sure more than me, I've been in situations where this thing was like not a big deal, right? I mean, something's not right here, but it's not really a big deal. And then you watch people start acting and reacting in the situation, and it begins to escalate, and it's escalating beyond control. And before you start realizing, like, your adrenaline spikes, your cortisol levels are going up, and you're feeling that, like, you're going, this thing's getting out of control. This could get bad right now. Do you know what I'm talking about? I was in that situation one time. A guy that I knew, his wife had just shocked him on his birthday. She walked in the house and she said, I'm out of here. I got a boyfriend and I'm gone. Saved. Born again people. And he's like, what? Big old monster of a man, ex-Marine. They're saved. And he'd have a drinking problem for years. And she showed up and she... Bought the trailer in there, and she's getting all her stuff out of the house and packing up and coming and going and packing up and running and coming back with the trailer and loading more stuff up. And he went and got a fifth of a Southern Comfort. And he's in the house. Blank it. And so somebody that knows me and a friend of his said, hey, man, you got to get over there. It's going really bad. So I'm like, man, maybe I can help somehow or another. I showed up at the house, and that guy had at the time, the biggest handgun on the market. I showed up at the house trying to hopefully be a comfort, and he's got that handgun. I'm gonna blow his stinking head off! And I'm thinking like, whoa! What am I doing here right now? First of all, this is above my pay grade. Second of all, this could get super ugly, super chaotic circumstances. Do you understand what I'm saying? And in the middle of that chaos, you better be careful because your life could be changed for the worse. Don't make big decisions in chaotic and confusing moments. Could ruin your life. Don't leave church and quit church in the middle of a chaotic and confusing time. That is the time for people to put their roots down.
Amen.
Listen, barring illegal, immoral, major doctrinal, you understand what I'm saying, right? Okay. But the chaotic and confusing times, put your roots down.
Yes.
Don't make major decisions. The devil will work and sorrow will come in the middle of the chaos and the confusion. Don't divorce your wife or leave your husband when you're going through a bad spell. Wait till things are really good, then you can clear-headedly consider whether or not you really want to do that.
Right. Yeah.
You got what I was saying, right? Wait till things are really good. Chaos will mess you up.
Yes.
You know, the world's full of chaos, folks. Watch out for it. It'll steal your joy.
Amen.
Comes from losing sight. Doubt comes from losing sight of the scriptures. Look at verse number 9. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Why weepest thou? Can I say maybe you weep because of some of the problems, because of the darkness, but the darkness brings the doubt. And now you're doubting some things, but the answers are in the Bible. Part of the reason that we have so much sorrow and we don't have our joy as Christians and we start messing our lives up and making bad decisions and getting out of God's will and hurting people and being excessively hurt by people. Did you hear what I said? We all get hurt. There's not a person in this room that's over 40 years old that can't point to something somewhere that was a life-changing hurt at some point in their life. But you ever meet people that are excessively hurt? Something's wrong when you're excessively hurt. You know Jesus Christ is the great physician?
Yes.
Do you know he's the balm of Gilead?
Amen.
You know he can take anything that has happened to you and he can turn that thing into a blessing and make you better, not bitter? That's that dryness. How do you get there? You're not going to get there by some guy from Michigan coming here and yelling and spitting on himself. And you're not. You know what you're going to get? You're going to get there by the Word of God.
Yep.
But the problem is we don't know our Bibles.
Amen. Amen.
We're missing what God has told us. It's going right over our heads. The fact that they didn't know, she didn't know the Bible and know that scripture yet caused all this doubt to come into her. The more I study my Bible and stay faithful, even though I got questions, the more God starts clicking things as time goes on. And folks, I got saved at almost 6 years old. I was five. I'm 44. I am unbelievably shocked at some of the things that start clicking in my head this many years later that I feel like I should have known a long time ago. It's a passage I could have quoted to you. And I just, well, what that means is, let me tell you. And even maybe been right. Was that a little confusing? Been right about what I was saying, but it wasn't actually clicking. I don't know if that makes sense. See, it's more than just I can quote the verse. You do err. How? Not knowing the scriptures, but it's not just the text. There's a spirit behind the text, nor the power of God. She didn't know the power of God. She didn't realize that he said he was going to rise from the dead. She didn't realize that the Savior allowed these things to happen. He laid, nobody killed Jesus Christ. You understand that?
Amen.
He laid down his life to save your soul from hell.
You,
your sin killed him because he allowed it.
Praise you, Lord.
He laid it down.
Thank you, Lord.
So since he laid it down, guess what he had the power to do? Take it up again. She just didn't realize yet his power. I feel like a lot of us have our doubts because we just don't realize yet God's power.
Amen.
Do you see everything in life is timing?
Amen.
My preacher used to say, you can't have what mama, grandma, and papa had because you ain't grandma and papa's age. I can't have what a 65-year-old man has. Not even going to try. You know why? I'm not 65. I'm not apologizing for that. I'm happy where I'm at. Praise the Lord. The older I get, the happier I am, the slower down, and the more it speeds up. It's frustrating. I'm not 65 yet. So what? Young man, that used to bother me, man. Now when a guy's 65 says, hey boy, I'm like, yes sir, it's me. Timing. You know, God works in his own time. He's not in a rush.
That's right.
And that bothers me, to be honest with you. I'm in a hurry. But I realize God's doing something that's so much bigger than I can even possibly comprehend, and it's confusing and it's dark and I don't know why it is like this, but God is not done yet. Do you know God's not done with some of your kids?
Amen.
Well, they're adults and they made it. It doesn't matter. I don't think God's done yet. Well, you know, after God deals with them, legal obligation of God is two witnesses, creation and conscience. And if they reject them both, then God's free. Okay. I know. We know so much doctrine. We think we know the mind of God. And even if you're right about that, I said, even if you're right about that, have you not read in your Bible that when you pray, God might give somebody a second chance, a third chance, a tenth chance, a hundredth chance, a 10,000th chance? Because you wouldn't quit asking God to deal with them. And they might resist all the way to the grave, but you didn't stop. Understand the power of God and don't give up till they've been dead 4 days, Lazarus. Come forth. And I had given up. And I had thought there was absolutely no possible way it's ever going to happen. And the problem was I didn't know him and I didn't know his book like I thought I did. My lifelong pursuit is to know my Bible.
Amen.
That's what I'm obsessed with. That's what I beg God to teach me. It's what I want to know. It's what I want to get my kids and my church and anybody else God allows me to have any kind of influence. I want to get them addicted to the Word of God. Because it's an amazing book and it'll clear it up. It'll shed the light, man. It'll bring it in. It'll chase away the darkness and it will dispel the doubts and it'll give you the answers.
Amen.
Stay in the book. My last point, and I'll get you out of here. Look at verse number 7. She's weeping because she had darkness. She's weeping because she had doubt. She's weeping because she didn't really understand the true divinity and power of Jesus Christ. I like verse number 7 because if you're not careful, you can miss the real power in this verse. And watch it. It's real simple. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. You say, what's the big deal about that, preacher? I can see Jesus, and this is just my sanctified imagination, and if I'm wrong, please forgive me, okay? I appreciate how gracious you've been, and I know you have been. He sits up. He takes off the linen clothes. He pulls off the napkin, and I can just kind of see him. I can sort of see him sitting on the side there. Oh, maybe they carved that little place where they lay him in the side. His feet are off the side like when you get up in the morning. In the last couple of years, I get up in the morning and I'm don't tell anybody this. And I'm never going to show you, but I'm wearing reading glasses now, you know, because I can't quite see. And I feel like I used to jump out of bed just ready to attack the day, and kind of now I need to ease into it just a little bit, you know. I'm not dying. I'm not sore. You know, I know some of you, like, you know, you're getting older when you're happy in the morning because all your parts came out of bed with you, you know, that kind of thing. It's not that bad yet, but we're getting there, right? I can see Jesus sitting up. Sitting there and just folding that, like, man, Lord, I am glad that's over. Ready to come home. Amen. To me, that just shows just so much power. I don't see the Lord ever panicking about anything. I don't see him ever chewing his nails about anything, overreacting about anything. I just see the Lord as just being a Mr. Steady, knowing what he's about. He's not going to crack. He's not going to bend. He's not going to break. He is literally going to go through hell and back. He descended first, right? Yeah. Went down to Abraham's bosom. He's down there in the center of the earth. Put your sins there. And he's going to do it like a Mr. Steady. Eyes set on the joy before him. The divinity of Jesus Christ. Where is he, Lord? They took him away. No, they didn't. I'll tell you where he is. This morning he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God and ever liveth to make intercession for you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Now I'm going to stop here because I think the Lord wants me to, but let me give you this thought. It's powerful. It's real powerful. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We all say amen to that. You know where else he is? If you're saved, he's in you.
Amen. Amen.
Explain that to me, preacher. I know the doctrine of circumcision made without hands and all that stuff, and I get how that works. But to have Almighty God sealing me with his Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Never leaving me, making me part of his body, making me his bride, loving me in spite of me. God doesn't love me because of me. He loves me in spite of me. And I love him because he first loved me. So this morning I want to ask you a question. Why are you crying? I'm not saying you shouldn't cry. We sorrow, not as others which have no hope. We do sorrow. Don't be so spiritual you don't let yourself sorrow. You're doing yourself more damage than you realize. And some of your lost family members need to see that you're human and that you cry. But then they need to see God heal you and bring you back and shed the light of how glorious the Lord Jesus Christ is and how wonderful, wonderful life in a sinful world with a Savior that guides us through all of it and heals us from it and bounces us back and uses us in spite and takes all that negative stuff and uses it for his glory and for his honor. Why weepest thou? Let's go ahead and bow your heads if you would, please. I'm going to just pray and then get out of the way. I think Brother Riggs is coming. I'm going to pray and just turn it over to him. Let him close it out how he sees fit. But this morning, please, please ask God to give you some light if you're in a dark spot.
Amen.
Please, if you've got doubts, if you've got questions that God hasn't answered, would you please consider letting him go until he answers them?
Amen.
Just let it go. He may answer him eventually, but maybe not right now. And please turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. He is God himself manifest in the flesh, and he won't leave you. He won't forsake you. So stick with him this morning. Father, we ask you please to bless your word. Pray that you'd help and strengthen this church. Minister to somebody. And Lord, if there's somebody here this morning that does not have your spirit inside of them, they are not born again. They're not part of your body. They're not part of your bride. Their sin has not been washed away by the blood you shed on the cross of Calvary. Help them to realize their intercessor, Jesus Christ, is reaching out to them right now and telling them that whosoever will may come. He will not deny anybody that comes to him for salvation. And may they leave here today, before they leave, when they leave, may they be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ by realizing who you are and asking you to come into their heart and save them. Do a work in this church right now, God, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, brother.